The scripture reading this morning is from Numbers chapter 20. We read Numbers 20, the verses 1 through 13. Numbers 20, the verses 1 through 13. And there we read God's holy word. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. The text for the sermon is verse 11. Verse 11, we consider this whole passage, but the focus is verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Beloved congregation, in the recent weeks we have meditated on various events in the life of Moses. We have seen how Moses interceded for the people, how repeatedly he intervened for them with the Lord. He was a godly man. And we considered his faith and his love and his perseverance. And we've seen that at various occasions, how he was a brave man, a man of love, who loved the people who were always murmuring against him. How difficult this man must have had it when he was leading these people. He was a godly man. We also meditated in Numbers 12, verse 3, that Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And maybe we can say that he was one of the most godly men of the Old Testament and of the Bible. And later on, he and Elijah are chosen by God to appear unto the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Moses is indeed the mediator of the Old Testament. And God spoke to him face to face like a man speaks to his friend. this man Moses was indeed a godly man, but he was a man. And of man it is written in Romans 3 verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And although Moses must have belonged to the most godly of God's people, also Moses had to confess, or would have confessed, that he only had a small beginning of this perfect obedience. Because even the best of God's children are able to sink and to stumble at any moment. And that is what we will see now in this event in the life of Moses, the man of God. We meditate on Moses sinning against God. And this shows us, in the first place, we see the act, secondly the meaning, and thirdly the need for Christ. So Moses sinning against God, we see first the act of his sin, and then the meaning of this sin, what it entailed, what he had done. And thirdly, we see the need for Christ. So last time we saw the people of Israel standing at the border of the promised land at a place called Kadesh. That was 38 years prior to the event we find here. You remember last time, 2 weeks ago, how Moses sent 12 rulers of the people, distinguished men, reliable men, elders. And they went to spy out the country. You remember how they came back with a glowing report. But 10 of them said, "We can never conquer the country. It's far too strong for us." And then Caleb and Joshua, boys and girls, you remember the 2 other spies. What did they say again? "Let's go up right now. They are bread for us. We can easily do it with the Lord." And that the people were paralyzed with fear. And they even wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. And they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And then the glory of the Lord intervened. And then the Lord spoke to them that the Lord was going to kill them all. And then Moses again stood in between. And Moses said, "Lord, do it not. What will the Egyptians say of thee? Remember thy great and glorious name." And then the Lord did it not. But the Lord said, "These people will go back into the wilderness." So that for a total of 40 years they will wander through the wilderness. And they will remember their sinful deeds. And this generation that said, "Our children will be taken captive by the Canaanites," that generation will die off in the wilderness and be buried. But their children, of whom they said they will be taken captive, their children will conquer the land. And now we are 38 years ahead. That's now Numbers 20. And now the people of Israel have wandered a total of 40 years through the wilderness. First 2 years until they reach the promised land. And then they say, "We can't take it." Then go back for 38 years. And now the 40 years are nearly fulfilled. And all that unbelieving generation has died and their bodies are buried in the wilderness. And now again the people arrive at that same place called Kadesh. That's where they had been 38 years ago, and they had not believed the Lord then. Will the people maybe now remember what their fathers did when they were still little children, when they may have heard what happened 38 years ago? Will they now remember that this is the place where our people sinned gravely against the Lord and were unbelieving against the Lord? Will they now remember that? And will thou they now say, "But we must not be so unbelieving"? Well, the people had not learned much. We'll see that. The name Kadesh is from Kadosh, that means holy. Indeed, the people were called to be a holy devoted to the Lord, a holy people. But alas, 38 years wandering through the wilderness, they still were not devoted, trusting in the Lord their God. In reality, they were most unholy. And what happened 38 years ago was going to repeat in a different way again now. The people had still not learned to obey the Lord. They were going to break out in unbelief. In verse 1, we read that Miriam died there and was buried. And then we read again there was an affliction. Because we read then, verse 2, there was no water for the congregation. Imagine that, the great need. You're there with your flocks and they're all bleating and lowing. And your children are crying. And you have empty, dry leather bags. And you've squeezed out the last bit of water. And there you are with a whole people. And everywhere around you is rock and sand and dry and a blue heaven. And there you are, in the middle of a wilderness. There's no water. It was indeed a great affliction. But had the Lord not brought them into other afflictions? Had the Lord not delivered them? Had the Lord not repeatedly, day by day, cared for these people these 40 years? Is the pillar of a cloud not now with them? There is no water. And what do? They gather themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses. They strove with him. They complained. And they said the most terrible things. Because recently, prior to this, there had been a rebellion. And then the Lord had sent fire. And some of the people had been killed because they participated in this rebellion against Moses. And now what are these people of Israel now saying? They're in verse 3, they're saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord." They're saying, "We wish we would have been consumed by that fire, that we wouldn't have to live anymore." What a terrible blasphemy. Imagine to deal with such a people. No consideration, no love, no patience, no forbearance, and have to lead such a people. How awful, what a burden this must have been for Moses. And when complaint upon complaint, and why have you brought us here into this wilderness? You have brought the congregation of the Lord, the Lord's people here. Do you know what you're doing? We're going to die here. Is that why you made us come up out of Egypt? To bring us into this evil place, this horrible place where we are. You promised us a place of figs and fruit, and there's nothing, there's not even water to drink. And again, there's pure rebellion. It's awful, isn't it? But if you and I look at our lives, have you not been in difficult circumstances? Were there not times in your life that you wondered what's going to happen now? Were there not prayers you lifted up to the Lord, that you cried to the Lord, you needed deliverance? It could have been sickness, it could have been something in the family, it could have been a fear of loss of job or a collapse of your business, or anything could have happened. Problems with the children or matters you struggled through. And you couldn't handle it your own. And you asked the Lord and He helped you. And maybe you're now in another difficulty. And how do you respond? Do we remember the deeds of the Lord? Or do we just stare at that great need we're in now? And do we think our need is real? And our inability is real? And that's all. If that's how we look at things, we will also complain. We will murmur. But what a blessing to look above the circumstances to the Lord who created heaven and earth, who created the galaxies, who has all power. Oh, flee to Him. Has He not said, "I will carry you. I will carry you all the days"? Is He not a most faithful God? What a blessing to pour out your needs and even your complaints about the circumstances, you pour out all your needs before the Lord in humility, confessing you're not worthy to be looked upon. And yet, Lord, will thou deliver me? But Israel didn't do that. And Moses didn't know what to do. He could not help them. He needed the Lord. So often Moses was in most awful circumstances and he did not know what was going to happen. And what did this good man of God do? He fled to the Lord. What an example. Moses and Aaron, what could they do? They went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. These old men, nearly 120 years old, Aaron a bit older, and they fell on their faces before the Lord. They fell on their knees, and they laid themselves before the Lord. They needed God. They had no answers, had no prescriptions. They only had their need. Oh Lord, deliver us. What a blessing to have a refuge. What a blessing to have an inner chamber, to have a closet where you can repair to, where you can lay down with Hezekiah all your needs, even letters, unfold them before the Lord. What a blessing. A God who gives strength, support, and deliverance. And that's what's going to happen here too. For the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 8, "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." The rod. You know, boys and girls, the rod that once had changed into a serpent and then back into a rod. That rod that he had stretched out above the Red Sea, that same rod, that old rod, that's what was needed as a symbol of God's power. In verse 9, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. He was obedient. He was obedient. They fled to the Lord. They listened to the Lord. Moses and Aaron took the rod of the Lord and they came before the Lord. No, they came before the people. They came back to the people with a rod and they stood before a great rock. And then verse 10 and 11, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their beasts also. And here we see the sin of Moses. Moses disobeyed the Lord. What was Moses' sin then? Well, the Lord had said to Moses, "Speak to the rock." And instead Moses smote the rock twice. The Lord didn't even tell him to speak to the people. Didn't even tell him to rebuke the people. He should have spoken to the rock and then withdrawn and the water would have come out. But Moses failed to do so. He hit the rock. He did it twice. And he accused the people and rebuked them for being rebels. And Moses was an ordained office bearer. We see here what the task is of an office bearer. It is to flee to the Lord with all the impossibilities in the office. The impossibilities that we can be placed for in the office. The impossibilities in the congregation, the impossibilities of our own personal life, flee to the Lord as Moses did. but then also to listen to what the Lord says, to listen to His Word, and to abide with God's Word. And therefore an office bearer needs to know the Word of God. What does the Lord require of me in these circumstances? And now we must be in prayer as office bearers that the Lord would send forth His light and His truth to lead us, to show us what His will is, that we may do our work as men of conviction who know the Word and the will of the Lord and who ask grace to obey the Lord at His Word and not to go by our own sentiments, by our own feelings or by our own emotions and not to do things the way we think they should be done, but to listen to the Word. But we will probe a bit further here, because we see the meaning of this sin. Moses has smitten the rock. Now, what was really wrong about what Moses had done? Well, he did not speak to the rock on behalf of God, but on his own behalf he smote the rock. And what's the difference? And why is this considered, boys and girls, to be such a great sin? You and I may think, is this so severe? Is this so extravagant? Is this just maybe a little deviation, a little different than the Lord told him to do? But what does the Lord say about this? The Lord, who has a perfect judgment. You and I don't have that. A perfect judgment. Well, we must listen to the Lord. The Lord does not say it's just a little sin. I told you to speak, but you smote. The Lord does not say it's just a little difference, it's a minor issue. No, the Lord said something else. The Lord lays bare the sin of Moses and Aaron. Verse 12, ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses and Aaron, they did not believe the Word of God. They were not obeying His Word, as the Lord had said. And they did not sanctify the Lord. That means they did not glorify God. They did not lift up God's glory before the children of Israel. They did not give honor to the Lord. And this is what the Lord considers to be so serious, that the Lord says, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. That was a punishment. But what then was so bad about what's happening here? Well, let's try to delve a little bit deeper. To us it may seem, in our foolish understanding, it may seem to be insignificant. But that's because we have a warped understanding, a darkened understanding. Let's look further at what Scripture says about this event. Later on, Moses speaks about this event. And he says in Deuteronomy 1:37, he says there that the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. He would not go into the promised land. The Lord was angry with me, Moses said. And who would not fear the anger of the Lord? Moses himself would write in Psalm 90, verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? And why was the Lord then so angry with Moses? Well, we see that Moses was simply disobedient to the Lord. That's one thing. Disobedience. He had spoke. He should have spoken to the rock. And instead Moses spoke to the people and rebuked them and then smote the rock. He was doing something else than what God had told him to do. He was acting against the Word of God. It was unbelief. It's a form of unbelief. Ye believed me not, the Lord says. And later on, when King Saul is called to kill all the Amalekites, and he refuses to do so because he kills them all, but he leaves the king alive, And Samuel calls that sin of unbelief, it's witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. That's what happened here in the life of Moses. He rejected, at this stage, the word of the Lord. And on top of that, Moses had a unique position. He was an office bearer. And an office bearer is called to be an example to the flock. He is called to obey the word of God, be an example in godliness. And an office bearer is called to trust the Lord and obey His word. He has a higher position. Not because of himself, but because the Lord appointed him there. But then there's something very significant here. We already mentioned it. We come now to the heart of Moses' sin that we should dwell more upon. Moses did not sanctify the Lord in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses did not give God the honor. Moses laid honor upon himself. Moses took away God's honor and placed himself in front of the Lord. He covered the honor of God and emphasized himself. Look at what Psalm 106 verse 33 says. Moses spake, that refers to this event, he spake unadvisedly with his lips. That means he spoke foolishly. He said in verse 10, must we fetch you water out of this rock? It's not him who's going to do it. It's the Lord. The Lord says him, fetch water out of the rock. But it's the Lord who's going to do it. But here Moses lays the emphasis upon himself. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And then verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock. And he did it twice on purpose, deliberately. You see here that the Lord is not in focus, but Moses. It's all deliberate. He's placing the focus upon himself and not upon the Lord. And this is a terrible sin for an office bearer to commit. To glorify himself at the expense of the glory of God. To cover the glory of God and lay emphasis upon oneself is a terrible sin for an office bearer to commit. And this was the sin of Moses. He failed to give glory to God. He usurped glory for himself. And this is what the Lord will hold against any office bearer. This sin will remove the joy of the Lord's service. This sin will be like the cutting of Samson's hair. The strength departs, and the zeal is lacking, and one's bones wax old, and God's hand will be upon you in disfavor when, as an office bearer, we fail to give glory to God. For then we stand in between God and His glory. And therefore, as office bearers, how do we seek to perform our office? Is it about us? Or is it about Him? And is it about the well-being of the flock? Do we seek our ease? Do we seek our name? Or do we seek to believe His word and in humility proclaim loudly and clearly the word of the Lord? Do we want people to know our name? Or do we want people to know the name of the Lord and they can forget about our names? Is this the thrust of our official work, that His name would be glorified Have we learned in our personal lives as office bearers this desire that the name of the Lord be glorified in our lives and hearts, in our work, that He would be lifted up? And have you seen in your own life that the Lord is good, and that therefore you desire that He would be glorified in your life? Do you pray? Is it your continual prayer, Lord, glorify Thyself in my life? That's necessary in the office, to desire God's glory. That's necessary for an office bearer to inherit eternal salvation. An office bearer, his task is to glorify the Lord. That's why the prayer of these office bearers must be, Lord, lead me to the glory of Thy great and holy name. Teach me to uphold Thy word. Teach me to point to Thee. Teach me to live by faith and to pray by faith, to expect all help from Thee alone, to revive me to the glory of Thy name. That's the only way how we can perform our office. It's Him, never us. And this leads us then also to the need for Christ, because it's amazing here that although Moses was disobedient to the Lord still caused water to gush out of that rock. Why was that? Because the Lord will still honor His office bearers, will still honor His servant Moses. And although Moses was sinning, and although Moses did not glorify the Lord did not put Moses to shame. And that can also be in the life of an office bearer, that the Lord still gives strength to perform the office, and that it still seems to be going well, but it's only God's mercy in carrying and supporting and strengthening the office bearer, while all along the Lord is not pleased at all with our conduct, and everything becomes barren and dry within. But it's God's grace. Moses had sinned. And the Lord laid therefore a severe punishment upon Moses. He would not enter the promised land. And this was awful for Moses. He never pleaded. He was willing to that he would be separated from the Lord as long as the people would be saved. He pleaded for the people, but now he pleaded for himself, that he could still enter in that land that he had looked forward to, that he had labored for. But the Lord said, speak me no more of this matter. Moses would not go in. He had served the Lord faithfully for 40 years. He had obeyed God's voice. More than 80 years ago in Egypt, when he was still a prince there, then he desired to belong to the people of the Lord and not to Egypt. He had said farewell to Egypt. And he who had seen the glory of the Lord, he who had been sustained in the Lord's immediate presence for 40 days and 40 nights without food or drink, and that repeatedly, he who had suffered because of all the harassment of the people and all their murmuring, and now he finally had lost his temper, and he covered the glory of God and laid emphasis upon himself. But he would not go over the River Jordan. Others would do this. Even people who had also rebelled against God, they would go over, but he would not. How difficult this was for Moses, the man of God. The Lord was angry with Moses. It's a sad event. But in Deuteronomy 1 verse 37, we read that Moses says, also the Lord was angry with me. It's the past tense. God had been angry, but now no more. His anger had only been for a moment, like Isaiah 54 verse 8 says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. God's anger was only a little anger in comparison to what his people deserve to receive. The wrath of the Lord is only a little wrath in comparison to the time. The Lord should be much longer angry for just a little time. And the wrath of the Lord is just a little wrath, a little anger in comparison to the measure of his wrath, what we deserve to receive. And why is it that it's only a little anger? Why is it that Moses could say, "He, the Lord, was angry with me"? That implies now no more. Now it's well between the Lord and my soul. How come? That can only be explained through Christ. Because Moses also needed Christ. Because Christ took the full wrath of God upon him. For him it was not a little wrath. For him it was not a moment. But for him it was as an eternity. In those hours of darkness on the cross. He took the burning wrath of God upon himself. He took the sins of his people upon himself. He took the sins of office bearers upon himself. And he took Moses' sin upon himself. And he suffered. He died. And that's why an office bearer can be saved. That's why a minister can be saved, and an elder and a deacon, not because of their official work. Because who of us is not guilty of this sin of Moses? Why can we then yet be saved? Because of Jesus, the Lord Jesus alone. Saved, fully saved. Not because of labor, not because of a busy schedule, but because of Jesus, Him alone. And then do we as office bearers not fall short? Do we as members of a congregation not fall short? How often do we forget the glory of the Lord? But as office bearers especially, how we need the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to place a watch before our lips, and to guard our thoughts, and to lead us to point to Him, to continually realize our weaknesses, our shortcomings, to realize that everything we have received in the office is a gift, nothing more, a gift, which God can also remove. It's all mercy. There's nothing about a minister who's been 22 years here. There's nothing about elders or deacons, even if they may have served long by God's grace. It's all Him, the Lord Jesus alone. Now Moses could not enter the promised land. But instead, you know what happened later on. How the Lord said, "Moses, climb up Mount Pisgah." Because the Lord loved Moses. He is a loving master to all His office bearers. And at times they will experience that too. And so the Lord loved Moses and said, "Moses, come on Mount Pisgah." And then he saw the land. The fertility. The beauty, the good land, that he could see it now. Finally, that glorious land. And then the Lord had something better in store for Moses. Heavenly Canaan. If it had been earthly Canaan, he would have still left to deal with the murmuring people and with the disobedience of Achan and his family and the disobedience of people. It would still have been weariness of the flesh. But now the Lord had something better for Moses. Heavenly Canaan. Now all this was in spite of himself, but only thanks to the Lord Jesus, his perfect, finished work. And so, congregation, we must end that our work is all stained and spotted. When you know the Lord by grace, you see a whole trail of stains and spots. And if you're in the office and you have light to know your own heart, and you look back and you see stains and spots and shortcomings, failings, and all the ministerial blessings is only God's gift, His grace. And so we are to end in the Lord Jesus, our only hope, our only expectation. In Him alone there is life. In Him alone you must be saved. If you're outside of this Savior, if you do not love Him, if you do not live for Him, if you're not concerned about the honor of God, if it has never arisen in your mind, in your heart, how shall God be glorified in my life? Then it's high time that this changes. Because why did God make you? Why are you alive? To the glory of God. And what if you've never been concerned about glorifying God? What does that mean? You do not know Him. You're lost. You're outside of salvation. Now you need Jesus to be your intercessor, your Savior. So you need to end in this sacred, blessed Savior, that He would be your refuge, your hope, your full payment for sin, and that His Spirit would teach you to honor Him, and that it would be your prayer, Lord, glorify Thyself in my life. Amen.